This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
Progression and how you've kind of turned things around there a little bit.
Bet.
But for right now, let's just talk about the events that are going on for Black History Month. We're starting a little early. It's not even February yet.
And more than a month, it's a whole series of programs throughout the year we're doing for this Black History series.
So the whole year, how long then did it take? When did you first start planning such a thing?
Last year, I started to put together this series. It kind of came about because we were chosen by the National Endowment of the Humanities to receive this traveling exhibit called For All the World to See, which is about visual culture and the struggle for civil rights. Some of the iconic photographic images of the civil rights era. And that we were selected to receive that and to exhibit that in June, from June 16th through mid-August.
Uh-huh.
And so then we got to talking and thought, well, let's build a whole series around the Black History series.
Nice.
And we worked with the Black Pioneers group out of Salem to put this exhibit together that's on now called All Aboard, about the railroads.
Right, exactly. That's actually what drew me in. What drew me into this is because, I don't know, all the photographs of, I think anybody who's watched old movies, you know, you've got some kind of relationship with the Black Porter. Let's put it that way. And that's kind of the basis, right, for this exhibition.
Well, that's how many of Portland's African-American families originally came to Portland in 1941, before Pearl Harbor, because the war industry brought many more families to Portland, the shipyards.
Mm-hmm.
But before Pearl Harbor in 1941, 98% of the African-American men living in Portland worked for the railroad industry.
Whoa.
Almost everybody. That was the only job. And as you know, Oregon was a fairly segregated place, even to the mid part of the 20th century.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the industry that employed African-Americans as porters, as workers, as bellmen. That was where they found jobs.
So these, let me just ask you, okay, when you go to the exhibition, maybe what we should do first of all is just describe the show a little bit, because I like to do that with any artist in any exhibition. When we walk in, what do we see? What I saw, first of all, was I heard things, and there's a video.
Yes.
Right? And then as you move around, there's clothing, there's costuming, there's pieces that were in the club cars.
Correct.
And there is all these photographs and people's stories. So let's just talk about, like, at the beginning, what's happening? We're watching men build the road, yes?
You're watching men build the railroad. Uh-huh. The Gandhi dancers, they were called back then, because they were moving the railroad tracks, and it was two steps forward, one step back, or some sort of specific...
they danced.
They danced. They were called the Gandhi dancers as they did the railroad. And so there's a video of that process.
Wow. And then what goes on from there? Refresh my memory here a little bit as you're moving around the show.
Well, then there's a railroad car. There's a a luggage crate.
Yes, there is.
Many panels, of course, explaining the history of the railroads and Black Americans. And something that always stops people in their tracks are the KKK hoods.
It's true. Yes, and are those from Portland,
those
by the way?
They are original artifacts from that era and in Oregon, in Portland.
Who had this? Who has all these things? How did you get them?
Well, the Black Pioneers out of Salem, Gwen Carr, curated this exhibit for us, or put this together for us, and worked with a whole variety of people. And some were in private collections, some were owned by folks whose father or grandfather were in the industry. Others were from other museums. Some were in our collection, photographs. And so just a whole group of people and organizations helped put this together.
Mm-hmm. And there's nothing like that now, is there? I mean, I haven't been taking a train lately or anything, but this reality does not exist.
As far as how segregated industry is?
Well,
how
to see for so many African Americans in a place of service on the trains.
Right. No, I don't think it exists. I haven't taken the train either anymore. So.
Right. So, and then there's the costuming. I thought that all of that, the dresses are beautiful. 1920s, it looks like.
1920s, 30s, right? 40s. That was the heyday of course, the railroad industry back then, when folks were traveling.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned that the Black Pioneers this is a group that's out of Salem. Can you
Correct.
Talk to us just a little bit about them?
Well, we have worked before with them on other exhibits at OHS, and they came to us with the idea idea of doing an exhibit focusing on the rail industry because it was so important to the heritage of so many African-American families here in Portland.
Uh-huh.
And they had us at hello,
That's
as the
right.
old saying goes. So,
all right, so at a certain point, I guess you said in 1900, 98% of the...
1941.
One,
believe it or not.
Wow, so it was the war that kind of changed that around and got some of those guys enlisted.
Correct, enlisted, and then the Kaiser Shipyards.
Right.
And the war industry employed, you know, everyone had to go to work for the war industry back then, so...
Would you say that's also the beginning of a different kind of community? Because from what I understand, out of the railroad, that's where the churches came from. That's where, you know, there were lots of other things that made a community that all came out of the railroad.
Correct. And the communities like Vanport, which was where a large majority of the African-American population lived in Portland at the time until it was destroyed by the flood of 1948.
Mm-hmm. So now... There are some panel discussions that come out of this. Like this exhibition has other elements that are a part of it. And from what I understand, you know, there's a whole list that you can go to ohs.org.
OHS.org is our website. Yep.
Yes. And so. You can get information.
Correct.
What are some of them? I think one of them is Stories You've Never Heard.
Right. Coming up, the next one on the calendar is February 10th, which is a panel discussion called Free at Last, Let the Elders Point the Way.
What does this mean?
It's going to be the elders of the African-American community, the black community, sharing their memories, talking about where they've been and where to go from here.
This is like civil rights, though, here that you're talking about. This is not just about the railroad.
It's not
or
just about
like that.
The exactly.
Okay. Yes.
Yes.
This is a whole
larger issue.
Larger issue.
Exactly.
All right.
And then we have a community day coming up, which is a free day for all Oregonians. Of course, thanks to the levy passed by Multnomah County voters in November 2010, all Multnomah County residents come for free. To the
yes,
OHS.
I think a lot of people don't realize that if you're living in Portland, if you're living in Multnomah County, you can go to any of these exhibitions and these
for free.
For free.
Totally free admission to the OHS, to our museum, to our research library.
The library is cool too, by the way.
The library is a great world-class research library.
It really is, yes.
And all school groups are free. Not just Multnomah County, but every school group in Oregon comes for free.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have school tours.
Constantly.
I
see
constantly.
The buses.
So exactly.
Right,
so,
yeah.
So, but other events we do have a history pub. We have worked for years with the good people at McMenamins, who are such great supporters of history. And they have a series throughout the years called the History Pub, where you can kind of blend a history lecture with some pizza and beer. What's better than that?
wait a minute. Does somebody come from from OHS and give a
lecture? We help arrange
the
speakers,
time?
Yes. And we've got one coming up on the February 25th at McMenamins Kennedy School, specifically related to the exhibit called All Aboard Railroading in Portland's Black Community, where you'll hear more in detail about the exhibit. And then, as you said, coming in March, we've got a panel discussion on what the workers have to say, stories you've never heard, which will some fascinating personal stories about the working in the railroads.
Right.
A great, fascinating, compelling topic on March 23rd called Why Aren't There More Black People in Oregon?
Okay, now stop right there.
So,
so I was just having I've had a few conversations with people about this actually just lately. Now, who's going to talk about this? I guess people have a lot of theories about this. Right. I just think it's an interesting topic.
Right.
So tell us. Who's coming? What kind of expertise is being brought to this particular discussion?
We'll have a series, I think, of some scholars, some community members, some leaders who have studied this issue in the past about the African-American migration to Portland, to the Northwest. And it feeds into one of our Hatfield lectures this year. We have a series called the Marco Hatfield Distinguished Historians Forum for the last 15 years, honoring Senator Hatfield, where we bring four or five historians in every year, major national historians, for lectures to the public. Uh-huh. And one of our speakers this year is a Pulitzer Prize-winning author named Isabel Wilkerson, who wrote the bestseller called The Warmth of Other Suns, which is about how African-American migration from the South to the Northeast, to the Midwest, to other places besides the South, how that changed them and changed our country.
Yes.
And it was a huge bestseller, Pulitzer Prize winner, and she's going to be here in April to give one of those lectures.
That's
going to
be a big deal.
It's going to be a big deal. We've already sold almost 500 tickets to Isabel Wilkerson's lecture, and we're still three months away from when she's here. So.
And is this lecture at the Society as
it's
well?
It's at the—we do our Hatfield Forum at the church, the Congregational Church, just right across
the
street
way.
From OHS on Park, okay. There on Park.
Great.
So if folks want to come and hear that, I'd urge them to get some tickets soon because that is going to sell out. I can mm-hmm. when we're 3 months out and
yes.
have sold 500 tickets of and probably seating for 600 there. I think we're going to have a good crowd.
Yeah, well, the book was well received.
Very well received, I think.
Heard her on NPR.
Yes, she's been on the national
Everywhere.
Figure discussion of uh-huh. this of the African American. Migration out of the South.
Uh-huh. And I would imagine different results for different areas.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
different
yeah.
stories.
Different stories. And her book is just, it's compelling reading. It's stories.
Uh-huh.
It's how this family, what made them leave the South and move to Detroit, or why someone went to Chicago, or why someone, you know, it's all those great individual, really compelling, moving stories.
Mm-hmm. Also, aren't you doing something that is in conjunction with, there's an exhibition that's at the Portland Art Museum on a photographer there?
Right across the street, of course, the Art Museum is
right.
Willie Mae Weems, I believe, the uh-huh. artist there. They have an exhibit opening very soon. She's a known, acclaimed African-American
photographer
okay. and so her exhibition will be right across the street.
Right. So. That's open now, no?
I believe it opens next week or this Friday maybe
uh-huh.
But it opens soon.
mm-hmm. And there I believe this is also being co-presented by Portland Center Stage. I mean no
is I think well, and they're doing a series of I believe August Wilson's plays
uh-huh.
This year, so I think there's a lot of the cultural organizations across Portland are kind of uniting
in
conjunction.
Yes So getting back a little bit more to For All the World to See, that was kind of that was the instigator in this whole
thing.
That
was kind of the instigator,
right?
Along with the working again with the Black Pioneers. But once we were awarded this
uh-huh.
this exhibit,
talk to us just a little bit more? Is that coming from the Smithsonian?
From the Smithsonian and the National Endowment for the Humanities. It's
uh-huh.
a traveling exhibit. And it's called The Visual Culture and the Struggle for Civil Rights. And
uh-huh.
I think we can all remember some of those iconic portraits of the civil rights era. And,
sure. Yes. And some of those photographs that we've seen in Life magazine a zillion
exactly.
times.
Exactly.
Those are going to be coming our way.
Some of those and uh-huh. And popular culture advertisements and other visual images that,
right.
that bring to mind that era. So.
Yeah. Well, that's so getting the funding for that and all of that is sort of like the touchstone of all these other things that
right.
were able to happen.
Yes.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. My name is Ava Lake, and this is Art Focus. If you want more information about this radio show, you can go to kboo.fm/artfocus, and you'll see links to my guests and audio files of past interviews that I've been doing here. Wanted to also mention that just lately, Joseph Galvan has been sort of co-hosting with me. We've been sharing the show. So I'm not here every week. I'm here like every other week. And it's working out really well. It's great to have a new voice, a different voice here. Joseph used to write about art for the Portland Tribune. And so I feel really lucky that we've kind of got this new voice here at Art Focus to share ideas and talk to all of us about art.
One more addition to the series is
yes.
for the second year in a row, the students at Roosevelt High School in Portland
uh-huh.
have put together an exhibit about called Freedom Fighters.
And, oh, okay.
And we hosted that for several days last year, and they're back again this year, from February 14th through the 6th through the 18th, and the 14th, of course, is not only Valentine's Day; it's Oregon's birthday.
Is it really?
It's statehood day. That will
really?
Be, absolutely, it'll be Oregon's 154th birthday. We became this state in 1859, and that's a free day again. We open our doors for free to all Oregonians on Oregon's birthday.
On Valentine's Day, people.
And we serve birthday cake.
Yeah, if you want to do something fun on Valentine's, you can go to the Oregon Historical Society. I'm here with Carrie Timchuk. Mm-hmm. He is the executive director okay. of the society, mm-hmm. and he's the one that's giving me all this information about... Well, we'd call it Black History Month, but it looks like it's more like Black History Year.
Exactly.
Right? And, you know, which is really great. Now, is there something that I haven't, I mean, I guess, well, one thing, though, that we only talked a little bit about this exhibition that's at, I know you're not a part of it, you're kind of connected with the Portland Art Museum, but with this exhibition, Carrie Mae Weems.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Photographs.
Right.
That's happening. Is that opened already?
I think it opens this weekend. As we have a new exhibit opening this weekend as well, and I think it was. I remember it being about the same time.
Mm-hmm. So. Panels too. Let's go over a little bit of the panels. Yeah. You're going to have one that's Railroad Men and Family Life, and
that already happened.
It did.
That was last night. So.
That was that. Well, tell us about it then. How was the attendance on that?
It was.
What's happening?
Excuse me. It was good and in a great, lively discussion.
Uh-huh.
And about the involved the children of men who worked in the railroad industry back in the 40s and 30s,
right,
and earlier, sharing,
right,
memories of their of their dads going to work and
So this would be kind of the elders already, right, who had these memories.
Yes,
for
yeah.
the most part. And who's like located these people? Is this all coming from the group in
the Black Pioneers? Pioneers. They help us and have identified these folks. Some of them who helped donate objects to the exhibit.
Right, and you had mentioned to me off the mic before,
yes,
we started this interview, that there was an exhibition coming up called Tough by Nature.
Tough by Nature.
What is that, please?
It opens up this Friday.
Oh,
is the grand opening,
okay.
February 1.
Yeah.
It's a series of 50 to 60 beautiful paintings and drawings and lithographs, and all done by the same woman, Linda Lanker,
right,
a fabulous artist, and around the theme of women of the West, ranch women, cowgirls, just the iconic images
tough.
Of Tough by Nature. You know,
yes.
Tough by Nature. And Linda traveled around the West and Southwest, personally meeting and interviewing these ladies on their ranches, on their farms, and then painting portraits of them. She also recently got the contract to paint the official portrait of the late Betty Roberts, who was the first woman to serve on the Supreme Court in Oregon, and her portrait's going to be hung in the Oregon Supreme Court building when it's completed. But this was Linda's big project for several years. I saw it at the Jordan Schnitzer Art Museum at the University of Oregon, where it premiered last year, and was so impressed with it, and I thought it would be such an important exhibit to have in Portland.
Sure, absolutely.
Because we're not the Portland Historical Society. We're the Oregon Historical Society.
Yes.
And as you know, agriculture and ranching and farming is part of the Oregon story.
I grew up in Southern Oregon.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm always saying Portland is not Oregon.
So,
you know, for good and bad and all of that. Yeah, it's all of the state, I think, has a really varied experience beyond, you know, what we kind of identify with this town. How about that? Right.
So it just beautiful paintings. Again, the premiere opens up on Friday. And again, I can't say it enough times. It's free. We are free to Multnomah County residents.
Right. A lot of people don't realize.
No,
that.
We put up billboards last year around the Portland, spreading the word, just letting people know that thanks to their votes in November 2010, for 5 years, that's the length of the levy, Multnomah County residents can attend for free.
Right. So I want to talk to you just a little bit about your work as the director of
Sure.
Okay. So you've been there how long?
About 2 years.
About two years. And but you did not, you had sort of a political background and a public service background,
yes,
but you're not necessarily a historian.
Not a historian.
They didn't want that, huh?
They didn't want that.
What did they want?
Well, as you know, the OHS, like a lot of nonprofits, went through some very tough times in the economic downturn.
Right.
It was challenged. There was a time when folks thought it might have to close its doors. There were cutbacks. There were cutbacks on employees, cutbacks on programs. So the first step in turning that around was the passage of the levy. That gave us a base of funding that we could not, you know, give you a floor that we couldn't fall under.
Mm-hmm.
And when I came on board, they turned to me to help, again, raise up the fundraising, raise up the recognition of OHS, the relevance.
Yes.
And we've had some nice breaks. One was the passage of the levy. The state, having disinvested in OHS for a number of bienniums, reinvested in this last biennium. There is an actual statute that says the state has an obligation to assist the Oregon Historical Society.
And that wasn't there before.
And that's been there for a while, but ignored it. They could ignore it. In many states,
they could ignore it.
Yeah. In many states, including our neighbors, Washington and Idaho, the Historical Society is an actual state agency. It's a state part of the state bureaucracy.
Mm-hmm.
And the vast majority of the funding comes from the state.
Mm-hmm.
OHS is different. We were founded in 1898. And as a, we're a 501c3.
You're a nonprofit.
Nonprofit, but the state has traditionally helped us. When we were founded, it was almost like an agreement was reached where the state said, we, the state, will be the keepers of the written records, the official documents of the state. You, OHS, you got everything else. You got all the artifacts. You've got all the oral histories. You've got all the photographs. You have all the everything else but the official written records. So,
And do you feel like there was a big difference between like the places in Washington, let's say, that were funded by the state, and then yourself? I mean, did you have to come back from behind in any way?
Well, at times, but there are other times where during the cutbacks, the states had to cut their budgets as well. And
yes.
The Washington Historical Society went through a massive cut up there. But the state reinvested in this with $2.5 million last biennium for the specific purpose of paying off the mortgage on our warehouse. We have a 100,000 square foot warehouse in Gresham where we keep the vast majority of our collection. It's dry.
Warm.
It's all warm. It's
all
the museum standards. It's like if you remember the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark, the very last scene where they hid the Ark of the Covenant in a warehouse the size of South Dakota. You know, that's what we have.
That's what you have.
That's what we have.
So tell me, is that a place that you visit often or
it's
that you need to?
It's so much fun to go out there.
Okay.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, what's it like?
Well, you turn one corner and there's a Conestoga wagon, and you turn another corner and there was the control panel to the Trojan nuclear plant.
Whoa.
Which we now have downtown in a permanent exhibit and on modern Oregon history.
Yeah.
But we have every Oregonian ever published. It's just a...
Very good.
We have a room, nothing but... But part of our tribal, we have a fantastic tribal basketry collection of
very nice
of tribal baskets.
Have you ever showed those?
We have done
you
a basket
an exhibition
show before,
yeah?
So yes,
yeah.
So
yeah, I would. Think
but
so.
Just a wonderful place to every corner you turn, you see something different.
Well, you know, I loved. As I told you off the mic, I worked for I did volunteer for the Oral History Project. Mm-hmm. And that was so much fun. But going into the research library, for those who haven't visited, I mean, it's really got great maps and things on the walls.
Oh.
And all those old Oregon journals, I mean, you can find out so much about what happened in Portland. You can really while away the time.
Absolutely. And we have a series of classes. You can see them again on our website. A recent addition to our staff was a woman who is expert in genealogy. And so we've been offering classes on how to do your family trees, your family roots, your genealogy, and on house histories, how to trace the history
of
the building or your house where you live. And those have been getting standing room only crowds. It's been fun to see. A lot of folks are just fascinated with genealogy. So
well, you've been there almost 2 years. What kind of goals did you have for yourself coming in, or maybe not just what you had, but what you still do? What are your aims, things that we need to get done for the Oregon Historical Society?
Three goals coming in are still my three goals today.
All right.
One was financial stability, to give the OHS financial stability so that we could bring back some of our programs and our employees and do all a good historic organization should do. And thanks to the levy and the state, we were also fortunate to receive a $2 million bequest last year from the philanthropist and businessman Fred Fields.
This is great.
Fred and Sue Fields, who left $150 million to the Oregon Community Foundation to create a huge new fund there, which is just going live in May. We received $2 million. So that was a nice gift, gave us a nice reserve, a rainy day fund, so to speak, and allowed us to take care of some deferred maintenance issues. So financial stability was the number one goal. The second goal was relevance, to make OHS top of mind and relevant again, and to increase the number of exhibits and the number of programs we have there. And so there's something always going on there. When Jack Oman recently, the longtime cartoonist of The Oregonian, moved to Sacramento, he did his last program at OHS, an evening with Jack Oman, to share his memories of 30 years with OHS. Peter Carlin, who wrote the best-selling biography on Bruce Springsteen, he did a program and book signing on his book. And so we're always doing,
bringing in the alive and kicking.
Because Oregon history is not just the Conestoga wagon and Lewis and Clark.
It's
yesterday.
Yes.
It's today. It's what's happening all the time.
Has Portlandia come in there and done a film segment?
Portlandia actually did film a segment up in our museum with Fred Armiston and his partner playing Lewis and Clark.
Really?
It ran last year and was quite humorous. But yeah, they've been on site and filmed at OHS. Financial stability, relevance, and the third was quality, just making sure that all our exhibits and all our programs were of the highest quality. So
right.
Those are still my goals going forward.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had some Attendance in 2012 was 30% above 2011.
So you're doing your job.
We're doing our job. And, and thanks again. We're a lot of new visitors from Multnomah County who are taking advantage of the fact that they can attend and come for free, but still many more who haven't taken advantage of that. So.
Who was your role model? I mean, when you took this over and you thought, like, who I want to look at what I think is successful or who will inspire me. What was working out there? What was out there that was working for you?
Well, I think one role model is just across the street is the art museum. It wasn't all that long ago in the grand scheme of things when it was
kind of sleepy,
kind of not only just sleepy, but financial, ruin. Uh-huh. And there was talk again that it wasn't going to survive. And thanks to a lot of generous gifts from, businessmen, philanthropists in Portland and Oregon, and, some great programming. And they turned that museum around as well. And that whole cultural district, we're just proud to be part of it. We're so close to the Schnitzer Theater and the art museum across the way. And we just wanted to be alive and well and kicking and leaving no doubt that we're here for the future.
Thank you so much for joining me today, Carrie. Yes, I've been talking with Carrie Timchuk, who is the executive director of the Oregon Historical Society. And basically, we talked about Black History Month or Black History Year at the Society. Mm. What was up right now that I went to check out was All Aboard, which is a cool exhibition of people who worked on the railroad from before 1900, right?
Exactly, until the 1940s.
Till the 1940s, this was a job that you would have that they could have, which has great audio, video, costumes, newspapers.
Yep.
Right? Photographs, all kinds of things. I really enjoyed the exhibit. Thanks so much for joining me.
My pleasure.
Yes. So this is Ava Lake and Art Focus, and I won't be here next week. I'll be here the week afterwards, and I'm going to interview Michelle Ross, who is a Ford Family Foundation recipient of a fellowship. She's one of the artists that will be showing at the Museum of Contemporary Craft, and I've never interviewed her and always wanted to, so I'm really looking forward to that. I'll be talking with you in a couple of weeks.
An announcement. Winona Hotter, one of the nation's leading healthy food advocates, will be speaking tonight at Powell's Books about her new book, Foodopoly, The Battle Over the Future of Food and Farming in America. In the book, she takes aim at the massive consolidation and corporate control of food production, which prevents farmers from raising healthy crops and limits the choices that people can make in the grocery store. That's tonight, Tuesday, January 29th at 7:30 at Powell City of Books at 1005 West Burnside.
You're listening to KBOO Portland Community Radio. Yeah!
When the desert sun goes down.
Hi, this is Retta Christie, host of the Noontime Jamboree, and I want to invite you to a live music benefit for KBOO, Once in a Blue Moon, featuring eclectic mix of music performed by KBOO DJs. Included are Henry and Moggy from Swingin' Country, the True Vine Ramblers, Bluegrass from the True Vine, Don McLaren and his fiddling friends from Swingin' Country, and me, Retta Christie, playing swing music with my One Night Stand band. There will also be delicious desserts and coffee, raffles and silent auction. Support KBOO Saturday, February 23rd at St. David of Wales Episcopal Church, 7 to 10 p.m. Tickets are available through Brown Paper Tickets. You can also find it at kboo.fm/boomoon2013.
I watch that desert sun go down.
KBOO Radio is proud to help Zippity News and a clothes drive to help clothe the homeless. We will be collecting gloves, hats, and scarves until February 15th, when the clothes will be distributed throughout the homeless community. KBOO is located on 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, just off Burnside. Thank you, and we hope to see you donating clothes to help keep the homeless warm this winter.